It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, as always, this beautiful place called Hawaii. And hope you're enjoying it and appreciate it. And let's try to keep it that way. But we're going to take a jaunt down a different path today, slightly, for about 30 minutes and talk about self-worth and self-belief and self-empowerment and what have you. I know it's not the usual conversation we have here, but it really is. It's just that rather than discussing the mechanics of how you do it, I'm saying just do it. And so I have Miss Rita Soman, and she's coming to town here and going to be talking about Psych-K and what are some of the benefits of it. And there's she's going to have a couple of workshops, and we'll give you all that detail, and we'll just chat, because all of the stress in the air and all of the taxes, and we're going to be talking about that in the second hour, about what are you going to do about this, these people that are involved in a thing called government that seem to, at an accelerated speed, we're seeing taxes and the talk of taxes and the costs, and I'm sure some of you, after hearing this talk with Rita, will probably sign up in an instant. So we'll give you that information, and we'll bring Rita on. Good morning, Rita. Are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Carol.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for joining me. And tell us a little bit. You've appeared before on the show here a while back,
yes,
but tell us about yourself, and then what are you doing with your workshop, and how does my listeners you propose they'll benefit from this?
Hi, James. I'm so excited to share this information with those who believe that this is how their life is, this is their destiny, there's no way out. A lot of people are stuck, actually, in the survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that we were created for magic and to live an abundant life. I'm a psychotherapist,
mm-hmm,
working since 1988 in Oregon, and my main work used to be helping the addicted and mentally challenged individuals with psychotherapy. Then 11 years ago, through Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, I discovered this process called Psych-K, which is a beautiful gem and a missing piece to most modalities that are out there. So Psych-K process actually, through kinesiology, muscle testing, reach the subconscious mind to find out what are the beliefs the person is carrying from early childhood that are still creating the results that they don't want. They want something different.
Mm-hmm.
So this process is about how to change those limiting beliefs and also to reperceive our past trauma from a whole brain place. For example, if somebody was abused, had a very bad childhood, for them to obviously to grieve and go through that, because things don't go away, in time. And so with this process, using the whole brain, we are able to perceive the trauma from a different place. For example, to understanding that my parents or whosoever was the part of this, that created the trauma, they did not know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And that my pain is real, but it doesn't have to last forever. So once I change my perception of my trauma, I don't see people from that place. I see them with compassion, and also see myself with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So I was unaware of my own trauma, when I got into this work, and I thought I was just trying to help everybody else, not realizing that I carried a lot of trauma from being married to my alcoholic, abusive husband, in India for 6 years and who committed suicide. You know, that was in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And I carried this belief with me that I'm not worthy of love, you know. They don't deserve to be treated with respect and kindness. And so with that state of mind, I married my husband here in Oregon in 1987. Only 6 months I was able to be happy in my relationship, but after that, you know, my mind was not compatible with what I tried to create. My subconscious mind was like, not familiar with all that stuff. So I was in and out of therapy for 18 long years and survived in my marriage until Psyche showed up. And I began to use this work because I'd taken so many workshops and I didn't want to tell people anything that is not really totally effective that gets them the return on the investment. So I tested this with myself, with many of my friends, family members, some clients, and I became a total believer of this work.
Mm-hmm.
So now, 11 years later, I am living a beautiful life. I was a workaholic, so I'm not there anymore. And I'm able to help people with all kinds of problems. So mm-hmm. now my clientele is more, just not drug, alcohol, or mental health problems, but people who want harmony in their life, relationship issues, abundance, success, you know.
And let me ask you.
Post-traumatic stress. So all this stuff is like I'm able to help them because the root cause of all the problems is in the subconscious mind. So that's what psyche is all about.
Well, that was going to be my question. How does one identify a problem? And then secondly, how do they define the root cause of the problem? Because if they're frustrated or things not working right, how does one put their fingertips on what the problem is or the root cause? And what are some of the factors that contribute to the embedded problems that person may have and only struggle through dealing with them rather than identifying them? How does one identify their problems?
Well, what we do is we use kinesiology muscle testing to communicate with the subconscious mind. When people come to me and they tell me what the problem is, for example, if their problem is they're struggling in life with certain issues, you know, and mm-hmm. then we make it a goal and define that goal to the subconscious mind, what they want instead in a sensory-based language. That's the only language that subconscious mind understands. Unless we have done that goal before, then it knows. But if we have not, for example, want to create an abundant and free life, and we haven't experienced it, so subconscious mind doesn't know what you're talking about. So defining that goal to the subconscious mind in a sensory-based language so you can understand that. The first thing is, if the subconscious mind needs to understand, that we check with muscle testing. We are subconscious mind saying, I don't know what you're talking about, so we need to... I need to understand, in my language, the subconscious mind needs to understand that. So we create that sensory-based goal in a sensory-based language, that what would your life look like, sound like, feel like, once you have achieved this goal, or instead of being in a survival mode, if you go in a thrival mode, you know, what would I look like for you?
Mm-hmm.
Then we begin to test the beliefs, you know, that basically people tell me, how was it like for them, during the childhood years, and how was the money situation or relationship situation, whatever the goal is. So we know that we need to maybe check there, and so we test some beliefs, you know, around the situation. And if it is weak, for example, I deserve to live a thriving life or abundant life, you know, and if it is muscle testing response is weak, that means the subconscious mind doesn't mm-hmm. believe that, then we can change that belief in a matter of 3 to 5 minutes. You know?
Mm-hmm. So
I don't want to excite people to this process just by talking about abundance. To me, the abundance is like abundance of good relationship, abundance of money, everything else you want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what abundance we should go after, not just the prosperity. So that's what psyche is able to help people with, abundance of all sort of things that they want to have in their life.
But sometimes people are dealing with issues such as health issues, and how will this help them? Some may want abundance and prosperity and money and cars and the physical things, but how about the basic needs of good health? can
and so if they're having health issue, anything, allergies to migraines to cancer to anything, you know, mm-hmm. and then you just put it as a goal. What you want, the goal is to have perfect health. What would that look like? Well, it looks mm-hmm. like that I don't have the symptoms from my disease. So what do you have? Mm-hmm. My health is perfect. How do we show? My test results are showing that my health is perfect. So we define the goal to the subconscious mind, and toward the end, together with the client, we create belief statements, you know, to support the health. For example, don't be surprised to know that many people at the subconscious level don't believe they deserve to live
right.
a long life.
Yeah.
Or they deserve to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
When we check that it's weak, then we just begin to change that program that I deserve to live a healthy life, or I deserve to live a healthy and long life, you know. Mm-hmm. My life is worth living,
mm-hmm.
you know. Or even though I have a family history of cancer, but I control my health, you know. My body heals itself easily and quickly. My body is capable of healing itself easily and quickly. I give myself permission to be totally healthy, you know.
Yeah.
So when people come to me for some serious health issues, I want to ask them. I usually ask them why you want to heal. You know, they tell me what they want to do
mm-hmm.
and what they haven't done. So I'm able to help people with even late stage cancer patients with this work. So and get them into what they want to do and get them excited also about their life. Now they want to live. And then we begin changing some of the beliefs that will get in the way of living a life they want to live.
Mm-hmm. Now, many people are not well versed, as clearly you are an expert at this and do this daily. But let's say the layman, the person who's new to this, how does one get started and understanding? See, you have the terminologies that are described, but how does the layman, so to speak, start off, and how or where does he or she get their information from and their guidance, and is this something your workshop will give in the first
week? Yeah. I have actually free introductory workshop on May 26th, Friday, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Quantum Institute International for Holistic Health, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll leave the address for that. And they can come and actually hear the whole lecture about it and information and also experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, in my lecture, there were times where, you know, people, just by changing a couple of beliefs, the whole problem was resolved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was thinking like, oh, my God, this is really, really profound, because I hadn't experienced that with anyone. But then I started to experience that with people. Like one girl took my workshop, you know, today, and she had a healing problem. I have a testimony for that, her too, that first she had a hard time, you know, hearing, and she told me she has a hearing problem. And next day, she was able to completely, she changed some beliefs around it. Next day, you know, she was able to completely hear everything. And since that day till this day, that was like 2 years ago, you have a hearing problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how simple it is.
Now, one of the reasons I took an interest in talking to you today is that I was watching TV, and we've been bombarded with this term opioids and this concern and all of these things and people on drugs and using drugs. And the question I have is that, okay, we identify them. It's clear that if a person is an addict or drugs or alcohol, that's clear. How does a person design in their mind or some means of saying no to it, changing their lives? And it takes some insight and some teachings and would one also have to believe that they're going to be successful?
No, actually, you know, one thing is that we have this belief going on for a long time that addiction is a disease and it's incurable and you're powerless. Once an addict, always an addict. You know, after when you go into the rehab for 30 days or 6 months, you know, then they program you, the recovery rate is very, very low. So that doesn't give people hope. But once they hear that, you know, that they can literally rewrite a new program in their subconscious mind. And addiction and mental health issues are linked with the childhood trauma, the ACE study that Kaiser Hospital did. They talked about it, like how our childhood traumas, you know, actually cause us to be more prone to, you know, later in life, you know, use drugs and alcohol to basically soothe the trauma of our childhood. So what I do in my therapy, I still have a addictions and treatment counseling, addictions counseling program that I help people, and there we just look for the trauma. Unless we have person with the trauma, I mean, you can put them in treatment for as long as you want to put them in, but the reason the recovery rate is low and the reason they relapse is not by choice, because if you don't fix the root causes of the problem, obviously they're going to go back to it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you instill them with the belief that you're powerless and it's an incurable disease. You know, that's not help. So I have changed all the talk steps for my clients to, I am powerful beyond measure, you know. So I just change all the talk steps into positive belief statements, and then I work with my clients and we just program the mind with those statements. And I mean, I tell you that people have been doing extremely well. Not only they are doing well, their families also come to therapy because their families also attracted them. They had their own trauma to attract them so that they can attract somebody who is not emotionally available, because they are used to, in their childhood, to have parents who were not emotionally available to them. So we can get the alcoholic and addict totally get empowered and never use alcohol because or drugs, because there's no need. Their brain is making its chemistry on its own, you know. And so there's no trauma for them to soothe with drugs and alcohol. And then family members, you know, have to also do their own work.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just got a wonderful testimony from a parent who was trying to get his son off marijuana. But the son had his parents programming, and father was also drinking every day, you know. So I told my client's father that, you know, you're going through a lot of stress due to your son. Would you like to experience some work? And today I got an awesome, awesome testimony from him. He's literally telling parents to look into this work and not just send the person to therapy, but also yourself to therapy. And so my business name is Addictions and Family Counseling. The reason I created this name in 1999, because I knew that it's a family illness. The whole family has to heal, not one person. You have to heal the whole unit. And so finally, after Psyche came into my life, and when people are getting better, I'm encouraging their family members to heal. So now we are creating really healthy families who are sending more clients. Most of my work is word of mouth, because people get better, they send other people to me, and I'm glad that I'm able to offer them return on the investment of time and money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing work. Not only that, my clients have healed. I had a thyroid problem. I completely healed that. I was a hypochondriac. That's the only way I knew how to get my parents' attention as a child. So I conquered that problem totally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a workaholic. I hid behind my work so that I don't have to look and think about my past trauma.
And so you're saying,
I don't have to hide behind anything.
You're saying that as a child you actually use this so-called illness to get attention?
Yeah. Both my parents were working hard. They had to work really hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, to support the family, big family. And so I wanted, even though we had a lot of people in the family, but a child craves for mother's love, parents' love, you know. So I would get sick, you know. My brothers would do stupid things to get their attention,
mm-hmm.
you know, gamble or drink and those kind of things. Everybody did different things. And I got myself always ill, so one of them would stay home and purpose solved. So this was my program. If you want to get attention, only way you can get attention is by getting sick. So I always was having symptoms of this and that problem. So I completely healed that program.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a relief. And second program I had was that if I'm sick, or you know, or they can't spend time with me, so they will buy me something, you know.
Right.
So that I buy me a doll or a nice dress. So I became a shopaholic because I soothed my trauma by shopping too much. So to distract my mind and also to soothe my pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Now
I won't have any of those problems anymore. I don't have to hide behind my work. I don't have to do anything compulsively. And so I am a pessimist for this work, and once I saw these changes, that's what gave me confidence in, like, oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Now, people, you're coming to Honolulu in the near future. When is that, and this is going to be a workshop you're holding?
Yeah, I'm holding workshop on Saturday, Sunday, May 27th and 28th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. In this workshop, people will learn two ways to change their beliefs and how to define the goal to the subconscious mind in a sensory-based language. And this workshop, everybody can learn. It's very simple to learn and use. And therapists can use it to help their clients and also to help themselves, because therapists go through their own stress as well. In the general population, they can learn from this work.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 days. It's an experiential workshop. Basically, in 2-day workshop, they are changing the limiting belief. It's not something they learn and do it. They're doing it right there. And that's what makes it so popular, because it's experiential.
What is? How do they connect, contact, and where is this workshop being held? Can you give the contact phone number, or how does one sign up or participate?
It is happening in Honolulu at Quantum Institute International for Holistic Health, 931 University Avenue, Honolulu. And they can contact me at my phone number, 503-667-2023. Or they can go on my website at my first name, Rita, R-I-T-A dot Soman, at gmail.com, my email address. And my website is ritasoman.com.
That's R-I-T-A dot S-O-M-A-N, Soman, dot com.
Rita dot Soman at gmail.com is my email, and ritasoman.com is my website.
Okay.
They still have room for people if they want to sign up, or some people if they want to come for a lecture and see what it is, because everybody brags about their stuff. I want people to really experience it, so when they come with such an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like it that way, you know. Some people who can make up their mind, I tell them, okay, don't listen to me what I'm saying. Please come, at least give yourself this opportunity to experience this free work. Once they experience that, Friday, May 26th, you know, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at mm-hmm. Quantum Institute International for Holistic Health. There's free parking there for people, and they can experience and then decide. If not this time, I'm coming back again next week.
Mm-hmm.
With them. Next month, actually.
Next month, and they can't wait a year.
I have 2 invitations already, you know, mm-hmm. for future workshops already.
So your website is, you have a website, do you?
Yeah, ritasoman.com.
Okay.
You can spell it for me, because...
Rita, R-I-T-A dot Soman, S-O-M-A-N.
No, just Rita Soman, no dot. Dot okay. Soman at Gmail is my email address, but ritasoman.com is my website.
Okay, ritasoman.com. And anything else before we go that we...
I would highly recommend people to, this is one biggest opportunity for them. If they're ready to stop the struggle and live a happy, healthy, fulfilled life, you know, where money is not a problem ever and health is not an issue anymore, then you might like to check this out, you know, because I think struggle is optional. It's not necessary.
Let me ask you, in these events that people participate in, they sign up and what have you, how does one gauge the success, or is there any noticeable change? How does one recognize that this is effective or it's working? Any insight?
Is, for example, if somebody has a confidence problem and they change that belief, and in the workshop, if they're sitting quietly in the corner,
mm-hmm.
next thing they're doing, they're just like raising a hand, asking questions, participating right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some little things. And they have some other bigger issues. We have them to create action plans, so to do that, because we cannot do the old actions with new beliefs, so we have to design new actions for mm-hmm. the new beliefs. So we teach them how to do that too.
Right.
So, and then people change in the workshop, and then if they continue to use the work, they can change later too, more stuff, and because now they have this tool, and they can use it. And second thing is that professionals, if they want to also come, so everybody gets a certificate where they are recognized as psychic facilitator, So after they have taken the workshop, now they can use it with themselves and also use it with other people and charge them. So in 2-day workshop, if you can learn a tool that's really life-changing and also get you some money too, what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Well, Rita, thank you for calling in and sharing that with us, and I hope...
thank you so much for inviting me. I enjoyed my interview with you last time also, and I'm very honored that you took time to interview me today, and thank you so much, and thank you to all your listeners.
There's so much coming at people today and bombarding, and I, as I say, I'm watching TV, and I saw the opioids, and you had expressed an interest in anything. We need anything nowadays to just... You know, the individual make their own decisions, but there's a lot of stress and
it's
a lot
of... It's not about a decision. It's about, like, as long as people have problems, they're going to continue to use opioids.
But, I mean, they have to make that decision to sit and continue to suffer or take an action to modify their lives.
I think if people know that it is easy for them,
right,
and it's possible for them to totally heal, they would like to try.
Right.
But if you tell them you're powerless and all this stuff, you know, there's no good point anyway, you know?
And that's what is being stated, presented, that we are all powerless to wait if we listen to the way things are unfolding here nowadays. We have no say in anything, even in our private lives, basically. So this, any positive reinforcement or teachings would be good for all of us.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
They'll be doing not themselves a favor. They'll be, everything that we do to heal ourselves, it goes in the collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It heals the planet. It heals people globally. You know,
yeah.
So that's what we need to do. That participate in the process of our own healing, so our presence and our healing can make a difference,
mm-hmm,
in our life, in others' lives, and planet healing.
Okay. Well, thank you. If you have anything else, go ahead and.
Thank you so much. I don't want to sound like I'm trying to sell something. I think people are lucky who are listening, and people will be a little luckier if they just come to listen or sign up, because I know this process has completely changed my life, and I'm living a life that I couldn't even think of or dream of. So I'm coming from a place of tasting my own teaching,
mm-hmm,
and using it and seeing the results every day. That's why I'm telling people, because I want everybody to have even more than what I have. As a teacher, the teacher always wants students to do better than the teacher, and that's where I'm coming from.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Rita Somon, and I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
This is the Carol Cox Show, and I appreciate you joining. We'll take a slight break and be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. An interesting talk. There's so much out there. Let's see here. Caller, you waiting? Go ahead with your comments or question.
Hey, brother.
Yes.
That was a drive-by gift, if I have ever heard one.
Okay.
Hey, buddy, look. I got five things. I took notes. Look, the zero thing is the globalism, the pressures of globalism wrapping around us,
mm-hmm,
the ability to maintain borders with the growing demand for aviation services. You can't get enough pilots, and every country wants 20 to 50 planes in order. Yeah, so we're going to go to addiction, because your guest was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Chad Kuanagi here, big doctor, maybe Castle, Queen, Safe Haven. Man, I've known him for 20 years. He describes addiction, and it's a rotten, miserable thing. Let's say you're a baby in a mama's womb, and your mother's gotten through it all, from meth to cocaine to heroin to ecstasy to whatever you can get addicted to, alcohol. And let's say the poor thing's got a genetic makeup that's susceptible to these things. That poor baby is addicted. Its mind will always have subconsciously, consciously, and superconsciously a victim for that body to be tricked into acquiring those substances. Once an addiction occurs, it is irreversible, and it can drive you like sleepwalking. That's Dr. Chad Kuyanaki, local psychiatrist, description of addiction. How do you like that? Okay, so what did you bring the guest on? What was the descriptions for bringing the guest on? How to take stress or something?
Well, how to deal with it. You got somebody else you want to bring on? Anything.
How to deal with it? Yeah, the internet. Any search term, and good luck with that. And on YouTube, too, you can find a lot of self-help.
Well, yeah, you can, but...
There's frequencies and there's ideas. So, anyway, was the upshot of the thing the subconsciousness?
Well... What do you take away from it?
I
don't want to be questioned.
There's linguistic programming like advertising and all kinds of suggestibility and enforcements in schools and oaths and federal and military policies. There's neuro-linguistic programming that can upset you with the call a normalcy bias. And there's predictive programming that's going to show you that you're going to get your throat jackbooted in the future. Too bad for you. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I went to one of the workshops, their action plan for me actually would be throw me out the window.
They probably wouldn't throw you out the window, put you in styrofoam and hold you for the next day.
It's a big huggy bear, huh?
Because there's when we step back and see the variety of things that are coming at us, left and right. I mean, you wake up in the morning and here's a guy.
That's the neuro-linguistic programming and the predictive programming. And it's called a quickening factor.
Right, but also a blast from the past. I mean, I'm looking at...
There's something to say about that. All the collages that they're
running
to shorten our attention spans.
Yeah,
and then the way they have these little collages of sound for news broadcasts, just don't do anything but... Just like ground your mind, because it's utter insanity or absurdity.
It's interesting you mentioned attention span. Here I'm attempting to respond to you, and you have no attention. So thanks for raising that issue. But what I was saying to you...
Oh, yeah, Air Force psychiatrists call me superficial, too. I'm 69, retarded, and I have addiction factors to deal with.
Yeah, I gave up on going and visiting counselors and what have you. Never really visited any, but...
Mesmerization.
They don't have enough time.
Mesmerization. A guy named Phineas had tuberculosis and was sick, but when he rode his bicycle and was concentrating on that, he was just fine. So if you find a way to mesmerize your way... is through some kind of addiction process, you'd be doing very well. But if you mesmerize yourself in the computer way, it's like you'll never get any sleep.
Right. Well, anyway, to wake up in the morning and to hear that your president has signed one of the biggest deals in sale of weaponry, that's just really encouraging for a new world.
That's why I want Poker to get a Nobel Peace Prize for social and political science commentary up. That's right. It's ridiculous. You can't have a hash pipe, but you can have a B-1B bomber with gas weapons and more. Mm. Go on with that. Come on. What's going on here?
Well,
ask the universe. Listen to God. You know, this is a reality. What happened? If the B-1B answered the answer, what was the question?
But, you know, so when we draw parallels and we stand, if we are conscious of watching these things and listening, intently,
that's called enormously bias.
We would learn that.
Hold on.
I'm getting a little annoyed with you.
You
can't do that.
Okay.
I mean, let's have a conversation, or don't have anything.
All right.
So, what happens is that I look at this, and we've, over the years you've called in and we've talked about this and that, and it always goes to the weapons. You notice many of our conversations or comments in the past have been, gee, we don't want them to have weapons. We're telling this young man in North Korea, you can't have nukes. But we're openly displaying our ability to sell and have a sweetheart deal of weaponry to the Saudis. What, does that make sense?
Sir, species have four things in common: camouflage, weapons, instinct, and education. And you can look at anything on any scale and include any intersecting sets. Mm-hmm. Just think, if there's a species above man or maybe some kind of reptilian, and they can build, instead of bird nests, they build a biological intergalactic spacecraft mm-hmm. from instinct. So I'm almost losing my train of thought, so you get us back on course here. Oh, let me just say one more thing about the guest. Okay?
Go ahead.
And then we'll go with your rules. I'm going to suggest her accent, her syntax, her enunciation, her syllabization. What was this other word I said? Mm-hmm. Her speed made it very hard to hear her. She would inhale on the beginning of words or fall out and stuff right. like that. So I don't know what to do for a speech coach, but it was
and she
hard
just
to
called,
really get all what she said.
She just called me back and said that, you know, the person that's on the phone now is speaking from an Anglo-Saxon, very bastardized English, not speaking the perfect English language. And,
yeah.
You know, the old world language, and she says, shame on you for raising the issue, but thanks anyway.
Well, I'd say the English, I hope to be speaking
well,
not too proficient a level. We're called out at an eighth grade, but that's a lot of where they write newspapers at.
If you were lost.
I'm speaking the language of aviation and science, the bastard is.
Yeah, well, we're not driving space shuttles here. But if you would you take directions from her if you were lost? And in the middle of the jungle, or would you say, oh, you speak funny and your accent and your dialect and all that? That's okay.
No,
I'll find out.
I'd ask her to speak about 5 minutes in her own language
yeah.
and see what that sounded like, because there's a phonetic experience one can have.
Now, and that's I appreciate you raising that issue, because it always gives me a nice segue and an example to see there is the ethnocentric Anglo-Saxon who sits here and openly, you said five or six things, and I still was trying to scramble the
yeah,
first one.
Use English, man.
No, I'm trying to scramble the first one to make sense of what
I
you said the first one.
Brits or Australians. Scots or Irishmen.
Yeah, but so I think that if we, I'm just saying to you, you know.
And
that's,
I'm not playing white privilege or nothing, sir.
No, there's
I'm a human being, you know, I come like this.
No, I'm just sharing with you that for the last 5 minutes, you know, and I appreciate you. I like that, because these are things that plague us all every day, that's looking down our noses at the other fellow.
Did you listen to the poker show today?
No, I was busy trying to prepare.
Oh, man, that man called back in, and he was talking about cosmic this and that, and he's got a nice accent.
Yeah, well.
So I'm open to a lot of things. I just wish I could have heard that lady better. That's why
well,
I hear make a
well, you got to learn to listen a little better.
Yeah, well, it's 59-year-old ears of wax.
Yeah, right? It's your obligation, especially if you're going to draw the conclusion that she's not adequately speaking the English language or having, there's some problem
okay,
with her.
Okay, let's put you back on the table. What can we talk about? Should we talk about this lady some more?
No, I.
You have another topic?
Anything you'd like to. I was thinking hoping that you would call in, and because you were talking about missiles at two or three weeks ago, and we were talking about the weaponry and all.
Okay, yeah.
And I just wanted to, I'm listening for the other callers and everybody. We're in a quagmire here at a point that we are really becoming the world's anus-minded people. We say things that we really, we say we're the guardians of justice and democracy. You know?
Oh, isn't that amazing?
And rarely do we have these kinds of examples where the whole media plays upon, look, he's going to get jobs and jobs. Well, yeah, but he's also going to take the life out of many of thousands of people as well.
Yeah, he's just the government, though. You need to know Jimmy Neutron. Boy, genius.
Yeah. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you, Mr. Cox?
I'm fine.
I listening to that lady. I want to actually go and see her when she gets here.
Yeah, well.
She mentioned a lot about, she used that book, she used the term The Biology of Belief mm-hmm. as a reference point that took her into this new way of life. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, I plan to go see her. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to add to it is that I've been in recovery 23 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like know a little something about what she was talking about, but I'm a starch person who believes in the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came from the program out of D.C., and I went to detox, and a lot of times what I find out is that in our society, especially in an American context, this is what a lot of people, in my personal opinion, don't grasp, that this is America, the American culture, and things done in the American context for Americans is critical. I'm sure there could be other methods, holistic alternatives and stuff like that. But growing up in America, I have found that on a daily basis, being able to go to a meeting, a true 12-step meeting, and there is a whole lot of different kinds of meetings, to the point where I see recovery in a holistic fashion, not just AA, not just NA, mm-hmm. but at least from my personal experience, most families in America did not have a chance to create a healthy family structure from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm just speaking in an American context only. Not in Chinese, not in India, not in African, not in any context.
Right.
And as a result, America created this 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it is the greatest thing America created. And when they talk about presidents and CEOs and all these people, I personally believe that everybody in government should be in the deepest levels of recovery known to man, especially American government people,
mm-hmm.
being the leaders of the free world. And I'd like to hear your feedback on that,
well,
if you will.
I wanted to ask you something, and the other gentleman, too, Curtis.
Laying on this still?
Yeah, hold on.
Hey, brother, it's nice to hear you.
Hold on, Curtis. What I wanted to ask, you know, one of the reasons that motivated me about this, I'm looking for, there's a lot of sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and fathers that are out there. I had a gentleman to approach me about a week ago, and he said, look, I've seen you on TV and I've seen you, I know you got a radio show. I want to tell you about my experience, how I ended up here in the outdoors, living in the outdoors or living out on the streets. It was because I wasn't a drug addict, but there were a few things in my life that drove me to that. Can you guys speak to that, share with others? What in totality, what does that mean for starting off having a, not a, quote, normal life, but what factors come into your life, play into your life that drives you or tempts you or I don't even know the proper words to use that, but you
That's
guys...
That's historical, Mr. Cox. That's always... When I look at society from a deeply historical perspective, from like 2,000 years ago, I don't just look at society from the here and now,
mm-hmm.
exactly, because it didn't start here and now. It's a continuation. And when I go back in history, I find, even in Europe, if you weren't born into the aristocracy, you were in trouble in Europe. Mm-hmm. You starved to death. The women became prostitutes. It's just our world did not start out correctly. You can't start a journey corrupt and crooked and expect to come out straight. And that's what it is. War was always a part of our society, worldly. People fought wars. You know, it wasn't a healthy society from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We have the 12 steps programs.
But how did you end up needing you as an individual? When did you find that you needed, and what drove you or caused you to go to seek the 12 step program? If you don't mind telling us something.
Okay, here's how it goes.
Okay.
As a teenager, I was already in a dysfunctional state, even before I ever used drugs or alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
The internal life, the family that I was in, it could have been my mom was malnutrition when she was carrying me. If I really get deep about it, it has to do with the lack of true medical care. Because in ghettos, people don't get medical care.
Mm-hmm.
When Jimmy Kimmel's son was born, he spent that. He had the $200,000 to get the heart operation immediately. Most of us in the hood, we have undiagnosed medical conditions. And when I say hood, I mean around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Billions of people are walking around here with undiagnosed medical conditions. Not psychiatric. Medical. Untreated. And insurance is not medicine. It's insurance care. It is not medical care.
Mm-hmm.
The hospitals, depending on your insurance, they will not even attempt to provide medical care for you. Because, depending on your insurance, I think they have a system where once they see your insurance, you fall into a particular slot of medical care based on whatever you can afford. And they don't tell the patient that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tests cannot even be performed by a primary care physician because they don't have a license as a cardiologist just to run a blood test. The specialists are licensed to run tests. I'm just talking blood tests. So when a person sees a primary care physician and they think they're getting medical care, they're being bamboozled. It doesn't work that way.
So then this...
Yeah, let me hear you, too.
Well, these factors
that... totally true, but close.
Go ahead, Curtis.
You know, I'm going to listen more.
So what I'm getting at is that we understand that, and you're right on with your comments there. But as individuals, there might be someone out there listening just trying to pull that last leg out of the mud that they're stuck in, seeing the light. How can you...
No, see, that, it don't work that way.
Well, I don't know.
They may be in denial so deep that a person has to come to grips with they must want to save their life and realize they can't do it. That's when they seek help on their own. When they know their life has come to an end. In my case, my life was over.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that if I didn't seek help on my own, regardless of if I could achieve it or not,
mm-hmm.
that the therapeutic catharsis, I'm using these high terms now, but they didn't exist then, wouldn't have existed. They have to be willing to seek help.
Right.
And in the end, they cannot take credit for it. This is my personal journey. I don't take credit for my recovery to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was a gift. And I can't see it no other way.
So you attribute your freedom that you've experienced here from the...
As a gift.
As a gift. Now,
yes,
so
yes.
Shouldn't everyone be entitled to that gift, and how do they get their gifts? That's what I'm...
I didn't hear you, sir.
How does others get their gift? Or, I mean, I know you've explained some portions of it, that what the individual should and shouldn't do, but there are people out there needing that one little bump to get... They're there, but as you've explained, that they need to go...
I call it a gift only because I identified that I could not stop using on my own. If there was no way I could stop myself.
Okay.
When a person comes to say that I was going to die in that state,
mm-hmm.
it was life and death. A lot of people still believe it's not life and death because maybe they
you're breaking up a little bit there.
Life and death. We are always at war, but most of us only refer to the military as war.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I had just came from a meeting. I get to Walmart. I'm using the Wi-Fi in front of there, and some guy I don't know wants to fight with me, telling me I'm texting his woman, his ex-wife. I just came from a meeting. See, I'm in a positive state, doing what I'm supposed to do for me, but yet society isn't. See, as a society, we're all really one family. The whole globe is one family. Racism, unethical behavior, classism, all it's doing is destroying it for everyone. Because I just come from a meeting to take care of myself and run directly into a situation that I had nothing to do with.
You don't know the gentleman? Right?
It sounds like road rage.
You didn't know the man?
I didn't know the man. Never seen him before. Nothing.
Right. So
I don't know if it was hate, a hate crime situation, if he was just mentally deranged. I don't know anything. All I know is that I come from a meeting on top of that.
Right. And you're going to meet those...
It's terrible, man.
Those moments are going to present themselves, whether it's in that form or some other form. So, you know, but the idea is... I'm looking at, as I drive by Nimitz, and I drive by Eveleigh, and I see, go out to Pearl City now at the Blaisdell Park, and you see the many people out there.
Government waste. That's government overspending and waste. Listen, homelessness, that can end tomorrow. There don't have to be no homeless people in America tomorrow. But they use that as a psychological warfare to make people feel as though they have no choice but to go to work every day. Because, you know, just a lot of people feed their ego looking at somebody that doesn't have as much as they have. The powers that be play that game, that psychological game in society, too. They always want you to point to somewhere that you could become if you don't do what I say.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big trigger for this man.
Yeah. Hey, well, we're coming down to the last minute. I appreciate you guys offering. You're welcome.
I'd like to answer the question, you ask the question at the beginning and get my chance to say something about it.
Well, call back in the next hour. What I'm hoping, what can you offer others out there, guys? What can you offer others that may be listening out there that would help them? I mean, it's one thing to spout off.
Why are we going to presume in the first place we're hurt is where that thinking starts?
Well,
we're so entitled and can become so exceptional in this country.
Okay,
just sign up at this college and go get go.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break and then come back, okay?
All right.
Take care. Okay, we're going to take a break, guys. Just about got a clock here going. Be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. Here at KWAI, 1080 AM.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Green to nimble on every once in a while, and maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM.
Are your data limits...
Once in my life, it's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, the wind is blowing.
it's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Yeah. So much for Michael Jackson and all of his lyrics and songs. And I was sitting here chuckling about when I first saw the boom boxes. And people would say, oh, look at those guys, man. They're listening, got the boom box, and we were the joke of the brunt of the town. We took the brunt of the jokes. And say we were listening to all that emotional, irrational music, you know, talking about violence. But if you listen to some of the lyrics, if you care to, rather than being just a critic, you would learn that the guys carrying the boom boxes weren't just listening to loud and emotional music. A great bit of it was socially motivated. Bass has its roots in the various issues that faced us daily. And so when you hear Michael Jackson, imagine Man in the Mirror, the ecology song, Marvin Gaye, War. War is hell. When will we ever learn? But if you're looking from afar and placing judgment with an ethnocentric approach to it, we were heathens. But the reality, folks, I see many of you with the PhDs and the doctorates and all of those degrees. You might want to get a boombox one day and just listen, make it part of your life to listen to just some of the lyrics. And you still can dance them. That's a cool thing about most of the music that we were listening to, us heathens, that you didn't probably pay close attention. But it was music with social value, social causes, speaking of change, justice, civil rights, rights for others, all of that. So, you know, it's funny how we can put labels on things, but I want to thank everybody for calling in, and this may sound disjointed, but folks, the conversation we're having, let me just say this. There are a lot of people out there with degrees and commitments and coming from church from a religious standpoint and from a political standpoint, and we still see our whole world collapsing and caving in on us right here. And with the taxes being proposed, with the Ron Manor and the Manahans and all those people that think it's okay to reach their hands in your pocket to pay for their mistakes, shame on them. Paula, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
Well, now that you put it that way, I completely understand what it might be like for you to have to stand in front of that mirror every day and look at that mug of yours and go on out there and put it in public.
Now, you...
it frightens you every day. It does, though. Wait till you see it there at 95 or something.
Now, you're testing me, man, because it's Sunday morning. I'm on radio, and the things I want to say to you, I just can't say.
Now, Michael Jackson, I just looked up Smooth Criminal on YouTube because I want to hear the drag racer in the middle of the song or something. I hope it's that one. I might not have got the right one. But did you want me to get a shot at that question you asked earlier?
Yeah. I mean, thinking with the mindset that somebody out there needs some help. I mean, you know, you have a little insight better than myself.
It's called the distortion or the destruction of their normalcy bias. Mm-hmm.
Can you interpret that for me, please?
Sir.
Go ahead.
What was the question?
Can you interpret that? You're using these words that some people...
the normalcy bias is I'll make it to retirement and have a nice old age with my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the Russian army moves through your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That changes your normalcy bias.
Right. And so, are you watching
this? You're completely broke because you can't get up and get a job. There's nowhere to go. You don't have a pack of seeds in your pack pocket. And now you have to predate off insects until you can get better.
Yeah. Well, you'll be consuming insects for a while. in this town.
But did you ask the question yet?
Pardon me?
What was your question originally?
No, go ahead. You said you were calling back to answer the question. What I had asked you is that you found yourself in a predicament where you've expressed and shared with us that you, for years you've seen counselors and you've had done various prescriptions you've had assigned to you, given to you, issued to you.
Yes, I got to recognize somehow deep down I'm addicted.
Okay.
And that addiction is like sleepwalking. It'll make me want to get a cigarette subconsciously and way beyond my immediate control unless I have extreme control over my free will. But we can't have a victimization mentality. And if you want relief from things, you have to become mesmerized with stuff. And maybe that's why music has gone on so well.
Right. Well, music is soothing to the soul, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, just do it or just play it. It's some kind of public service address.
Yeah.
What happened to me? Who knows, man? There was a movie, and it was in England, and the first machines were coming on. And there are people called, like, Luddites. But one of the men couldn't stand not hearing the birds in the brook and the water trickling in the brook, the nature, and he just shot himself in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at how far we advanced. This guy had a revolver he could put in his head in the 1800s or something in England.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to deal with it? I don't know. It's don't let people who, it's like garbage in, garbage out. Don't let your subconscious become destroyed. And you're demon-possessed when you're, like, terribly, tragically abused or something like that. That's when you become really open to it. If you're beaten like a kid or if you're like a baby that's from an addicted mother, you'll have these demons haunting you and you won't even understand them. Nobody will be able to explain it to you. But what's it going to be like when you're in a crib and your mother was addicted to all these things? Well, it passes through the placenta, then you're addicted to tobacco and whatever else your mother was addicted to that you might have a double tendency for. Maybe your genes lined up to love that, and then you got to live the first 21 years of your life just in anxiety beyond explanation and still have to do your homework right.
So pain pills, for example, it doesn't have to be some illegal activities. It could have been prescribed drugs or opiates in the past for young babies. I wonder if anybody else...
Who knows? There's a cycle, but where it begins, it's hard to believe. Sometimes now it just thinks that unfiltered well water will get you hooked because of all the different stuff that's making it into the environment.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to get some sense of... I had a conversation with several people that live down on the beach and at one of the parks having a decent conversation without being threatened that they're going to have to move or being kicked out. And I just... What was in the news just the other day? It says that they took so many tons of trash out.
Their plastic removal?
No. From the various...
The jungle of whatever?
In Waipahu, near the Filipino Cultural Center, they gave the amount of, quote, trash that they removed from the homeless. Now, you see, I personally believe that...
That's an oxymoron. That trash is personal property to the homeless, but
I agree, at
the state level.
I understand, and so I would like to see half the guys that are out there making that decision. Ron Manure, for example, he's my city councilman, and the first thing he does, he's first on the scene to say, oh, we're going to get rid of this, but ask him for real solutions. These guys are slicker than slick now.
We just got to get a MASH response, Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. And everybody considered, like, need the rest, and then you lay them out and put them through a breakfast room and a checkup room and some dentistry, too.
Mm-hmm. Well.
We can open up any kind of MASH. That's what they did a little bit in Germany to handle the crushing influx of, Muslims or Islamics.
Yeah, well, I don't know specifics what you're talking about, but...
They have a jungle cleanup in San Jose, California, 6,000 to 7,000 homeless, and some people even brought bricks home to have nice walkways up to their tent.
Yeah, well, I was told just the other day that they've forcing some people to move to Waianae and what have you, and out of Hawaii Kai, and it's who's going to stop this and say to the mayor and the state senator and the governor, the state representative, you know, you take, they all seem to have a same unsophisticated way of doing it, going out with the TV cameras and showing how many homeless people are in these certain areas.
I guess we do it like this with our Boy Scouts and our Girl Scouts, and have our junior entrepreneurs, and start investigating eminent domain and enforcing it to restore the rights of the people that have become homeless either by illness, injury, or injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody get a big stick and go, yep, it's that or leave.
It's not going to stop. And I notice it's one of the things that I've found to be quite interesting is that every time there's a talk of money or that is available, somehow some of the churches find their way in the thick of things.
That's the Clinton model, isn't it? The money come up and then disappears into their trust?
It's because we trust them.
And God we trust. All others got to pay cash.
Yeah. So... It's a big problem, but anyway, that was about it. I was hoping that you could offer some insight and say to encouragement and say to others that may have problems.
Watch out for your subconscious, the way it drives you. You get misinstincted because an addiction overrides your instincts, and it presents a tension in your mind and. Instead of arriving at where you're at, your body's always trying to trick you, almost like sleepwalking, to pick up another cigarette, maybe get another joint, or try another drink, and trying to keep your mind mesmerized in a direction out of that is like living life, liberty, and the pursuit of just the happiness. And 12 steps or less, try to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Nike says just do it.
Right. And Nike says just do it, but do what?
I don't know. Look, you got to go look for a mango. Got to go catch something to barbecue. What are those things out here? Those weasels? That mongoose?
You mean politicians?
Yeah. Politicians.
I heard you say weasel.
That might make it go better.
I'm sorry. I heard you say weasel. I can have a difficult time sometimes when mentioning the same name, talking about politicians and mongoose or weasel. You know.
Yeah. So I hope I did my civic duty for the day. You got another caller? Is their brother still around?
No, he's not on, but he'll probably call back. But anybody want to call 524-1080? But I want to know what this rail thing and
the great train rail robbery in reverse.
Oh,
it
my.
It causes ghettoization. And then it's going to be backed up by gentrification.
And even if they raise the taxes on property taxes, there's still no guarantee that it's going to fund it completely.
No, what do you mean no guarantees? It's instead of the unintended consequence, it's the absolutely known consequence.
And we don't hear any talk of, not one person has uttered these words.
That's
fire them.
Gravity sucks things down. That's the way finances go.
Fire them. You know,
fire them.
Kirk Caldwell should never be allowed to walk through the doors of the city hall again.
Get him out of here. Are you a Republican?
No, it doesn't matter if I was a German Shepherd. It's their actions, not my actions, that I'm complaining about. Bow wow, I say, but, you know.
Doggone good.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the strangest thing I have ever seen. We've had one lie being told
to us.
It's
not the strangest thing you ever seen.
Yes,
the mafia perfected it.
No.
Like feather bedding.
No, the
mafia. By inaction, penalties occur and people get richer.
No. The mafia couldn't hold a match to Kirk Caldwell. Look, there is no way you could lie to the people and promise them.
Pot of mobs out here, from the Yakuza to the Triad to the Israelis to the Russians. Who else am I missing?
CIA, MI6.
No, see, that takes people down in the backside of the woods and off the trail.
You got Jimmy Neutron and the arch villain.
No, okay, well, that's good, but, you know, smoke another one and call me back or something. But I'm simply saying I've not seen anything like this ever. Where they propose something, it's going to cost us, it lies and lies and lies, and then...
Oh, there's historical precedents, maybe like Rome?
No.
No, you never see, this is going to be a record set in singularity.
No.
The way people are going to get jacked for their tax dollars.
No, they...
With rail being the train robbery in reverse and the ghettoization of people, then the gentrification of situations, people are going to be tyrannically forced economically... through digital is not even cash anymore, and have to be forced on the train and whatever, forced in automated driving cars. What do you see?
What do I see?
Yeah, what are you saying, you know?
I'm saying to you that let's come back down to earth and clear the fog and ask these basic questions. How is it that we can have such a lie perpetuate itself to such degree that now we're talking about taking money from people that... retired, and they're already struggling.
Yeah.
And they will, in order to pay their taxes as proposed or threatened, they will have to borrow money or give up their homes or sell it or go a reverse mortgage just to stay eke out the last few years. And that is no way should ever happen here in America. Never. For the government becomes so taxing that you have no control.
You say that, raising your right hand. I think that's the way it's called business.
Well, yeah, okay, business. Okay, hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
I was listening up until that one point, and then when you said taking away their livelihood, that immediately led me to eugenics. I believe this, too. I believe our whole system is based on eugenics. But they don't call it eugenics anymore. They call it all this other stuff, but it's, to me, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know about eugenics, right?
I've heard it tossed around.
That's what I think we're under.
It's heavily related to eugenics from the past as father. Yeah, eugenics is on the board, Ben.
Okay, you lost me, and I think you lost him. But anyway... this is
a medical education. Ask Hesh Goldstein. He taught that whole lecture about the eugenics.
Yeah, I heard that show with him, listening to that. But again, that's all fine and dandy to define something.
Yeah.
When do we coach people and teach them how to react and respond?
I don't know. On one hand, it happens kind of naturally because of entropy. On the other hand, it happens sometimes through neglect, sloppiness, or circumstances. And basically, that's what education is all about, to try to live better than before.
Right. Okay, that's okay. It sounds clinically okay, I guess, if that's what they teach you. But when do you come down to basics and say, enough taxes is enough is enough?
I don't know. That's hypothetical.
Well, yeah, I'm saying, when do they teach you to... in these classes of these 12 steps to take control and as a citizen participate and vote people out that screw you?
Well, we can work within the system we will have as long as we set our standards to enforce. And it's basically one quarter of your income should pay for housing. So you need at least, let's just say, a $3,000 net income weekly to have a family in Hawaii, stop raising prices, stop trying to undersell people, and get it set in place that families that get that income going like that have a mass medical welfare system on the other side and see if society can't mesh a little better in the heavy and tragic circumstances it can become. Because we're also subject to a tsunami or an earthquake here or a hurricane before you know it, and then what's the story become?
Well,
we'll be looking for our politicians.
Is it welfare? Is that the same thing as well-being?
Yeah. Better be.
Yeah, so why do people have an issue with welfare?
It's kind of like, almost to just be ridiculous, it's who's going to do the dishes and who isn't, kind of a metaphor.
But who gets to eat the meat?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what the distinction between class, power, and privilege, or earning, or
whatever that mankind's I don't know, individuality or civilization. Regular individualization helps you deal with that. If you go on back there and hold the farm and live as a farmer and then put yourself through college, have you ever worked that hard? No, I've just been a suburban boy.
Well,
I've visited farms on field trips.
Well, get ready to get your application ready because the Saudi Arabians are going to bring thousands and thousands and thousands, and it's going to be beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So get your application out. And
thousands of what from Arabia?
Jobs.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to be located into Islamic beliefs and have a purpose in our lives.
No, I think they're going to have a body bag of manufacturing.
Yeah, that might be the growth industry, the funeral and body process.
Right.
Because
I think that's
jobs are going gone because of automation.
Well, no, I mean, but when you're issuing guns and what have you, they say someone is saturating the Chicago and the inner cities with guns, right, and causing all of this violence, right?
I can't believe when I hear gun commercials and they make them sound so sexy, I'm like, oh, my God, come on, stop it already.
Well.
And it's a shame we have to go hunting. I broke up a shoulder shooting a 12-gauge shotgun for one afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then one day, I'll be smart. I'll get it off my shoulder. It won't hurt anymore. And then I shot the next nest. That thing kicked me like a horse.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a reason to shoot. I guess it's getting that vital protein. All the other shooting is because we're so doggone well. Systems and producing and reproducing, the money and the restoration of the destruction of property speaks louder and is worth more. It seems like the powers that be than the peaceful quiet of structures that last for thousands of years and intellectual and spiritual development.
Well, I hate to say it, but I predicted that we would find ourselves in a moment like this because everyone was talking about, you may recall me saying way back, why do we talk about the Illuminatis and all that going abroad, and here locally we won't dare to stand up and speak directly to our politicians and let them know that they're only representing us for the betterment of us.
Why did you bring up the Illuminati? That's a subject the other guy would speak on a lot, I think.
Well, no, I'm just saying many of these issues are just what everybody was in a state of fear over the years, and they were coming to get you, and they were under your carpet and in your seats and your car seats listening to you, wiretapping your phone. And look what we got today. So you scare them yesterday, and now you can do it whatever you want to do. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Okay, I tried to hold my peace, but you guys say things that just cause me to call back. If you go to a foreign country, you're no longer in America, right?
Right.
If we go to Mexico, we're not in America, right?
Okay.
If we go to China, we're not in America. If we go to Korea, we're not in America. If we go to Vietnam, we're not in America. If we go to Samoa, we're not in America. If we go to Tonga or the Philippines, we're not in America.
Mm-hmm.
So where is America? If all these people come to your country with their culture and they don't want to be American, where's America? It's gone. Why? Because our government, sanctuary cities, our rich, super rich people who control this country wants all these illegal immigrants and foreign people in this country.
Okay, having said
to me,
that,
that's a big.
Having
big
said that, what
issue
would be the benefit or the motivation? I've heard this stated a couple times. What specifically will they benefit from it? Just because they just want them here? Is that what you suggest?
Well, okay, American, and real American, might say, don't step to me with no 10-25 an hour. But a foreign person who comes from somewhere where they make $250 a day, they use the foreigner as a weapon against the real American.
Okay.
And I'm going to listen off there.
I have heard this discussed many times, and I think it's quite accurate. Way back, they brought new people to come in and replace labor workers. Caller, thank you.
Salvadorans are talking about that this Friday.
that the Filipino count is coming in so fast and hard, and it had a proportional relationship, something to do with the rail, I guess, I don't know. Of our people leaving the island disgruntled because of the rail project, and the replacements are turning out to be more in the Filipino category of, I don't know what you call it, location, we'll say.
Call, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, hey, yeah. Well, I was calling in because I wanted to talk about that weapon. And I have some other ideas, so I thought I'd share them. Myself, I'm against all weapon production, and if we can downsize, and as a people, all as the people of the world, there's a global zero that has a lot of powerful politicians, and that's a movement just to get rid of nuclear weapons in the world. So, so I started by contacting those powerful people who are against nuclear weapons and, you know, saying, let's go a step further and try to downsize all weapon production. And a couple weeks ago you mentioned, well, we should hold our nose and try to contact Trump about not giving money for the rail. So I couldn't do that without mentioning, even though we can see how much good it did, that, that I, for one, is just one person. At least I have my say against weapon production. And then you were mentioning songs, and, you know, there's Blowing in the Wind and a lot of powerful anti-war songs by Pink Floyd, Us and Them, and then first Imagine. And you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. And then there's another issue that I just wanted to bring up because it's current, and that's the net neutrality issue. How they're going to take over the big corporations and, you know, the folks that are going to control our availability of information. And this is happening right now, and if you can call the if you can email the FCC and say you're against them taking away our net neutrality, a couple days ago they actually voted to start the process of taking away our net neutrality. And if you don't know what that is, when I contacted Brian Schott, he actually emailed me back with a link of an open letter asking to keep net neutrality, and it actually has a link to the website of FCC where you can, after you understand what it's about, you know, you can go and say, hey, you know, this is important to democracy, it's important to, us as, to not have an unfair advantage to the big corporations. And if everyone weighs in and floods the FCC, they may back out on this horrible thing where it will impact all of us, and we won't have the internet freedom that we're enjoying right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're quietly working to take those things away or diminish our rights. And
nickel and diming and chipping away at the stone, and they're just, you name it, and we're losing it, and we don't even see it.
Well, I guess those that are, I don't know what to say as to why we don't see a greater rebellion against us, both of, you know, overtly.
Well, look who's president. How did that happen? How the hell? It just blows me away.
How the hell did Trump become president?
Did Trump become president? He's out of his gourd.
Well, I've said this, and most people don't want to hear it, but he became president because of the Democrats. They're arrogant as well, and they took us for granted, and they lost their headlight and lost their directions as far as what was democracy and freedom, and they became more family-oriented, like Trump with his family. And if you were a friend of the Democrats, you could get anything you want to. Case in point, come to Honolulu. Everything, they're going to screw the mass, but look at the others who got their own certain class. They, you know, the Lexus and the penny loafers and the Aloha shirt and a government job and retirement and medical, you know, and serving the big man. So giving land away to Howard Hughes and handing this over the shoulder to this and allowing buildings. That's how he became president.
People are just a bunch of following sheep.
Hmm? They're a bunch of sheep, but they can see the rotisserie going, and they know they're next, but why are they continuing to follow this? You know, I mean, I think Donald Trump is a horrible mistake of voting, but he won, and so, again, I've talked about this, but why do we worry about how he won? He won?
I'm disappointed in just other people.
Yeah. Donald Trump won because the Democrats lost their way, and not that they have ever been the perfect party anyway, but, you know, if we get past the Hillary Clinton emails, look at all the other things that they did, and me personally, I would have never...
You're right about not going backwards, about going forwards, and trying to do the things that we can now, you know, contacting people who are against, you know, global weapons, global zero.
Yeah, well...
Folks. There's a bunch of politicians there and powerful people that, you know, that at least you can support, you know, by contacting them and saying that, hey, here's another person. And the FCC, hey, here's another person. We want our net neutrality.
Well, you know... Regarding the Hillary Clinton, I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton because of this or that or you know, but I was reluctant and just didn't like the idea that right from the onset, she was guaranteed to get it when there are other politicians that have greater capacity, greater ability, and a lot more honest. But yet, we were being fed her. We were being told that this is who we... So, that was one of the reasons I just couldn't find myself voting for her.
That's the whole control thing, that, yeah. You know, that they have control, that corporations are real. They're happy right now, as clams as can be. They got their way.
Yeah.
And they control the people. They made people think that, you know, that this is going to be great, get them jobs, like you said. So the bigger picture doesn't ever get looked at or seen because, you know, we don't have as much of the information out there, the information that it is not just a dream, that we can, you know, be more free, you know, intellectually and free of the weaponry that is making all the money, that is creating, you know, the wars benefit pretty much the people that make the weapons.
Yeah, well,
and then the big corporations who get to have their slaves in all these different places.
Both sides chip away at the American way. You take, for example...
Both sides of what?
Democrat and Republican.
I'm not talking about that.
But I am. See that. I understand. I'm adding my piece to this conversation.
I'd like to say there's a third side called technology. Since the lady has an interesting variety of topical ideas, what does she think about personal drones that take pictures or deliver drinks, or military drones that deliver such destruction?
Well, we're going to end up moaning over it. So, anyway, Curtis, hold on. What I'm saying is that things in America work in pretty good. It's just both sides. When I say both sides, Democrats and Republicans, they all have strategies to undermine
it. There's a two-party system, and that's why you only have two choices and all that.
Well, no. It's go beyond that, in that each one of them find a need to manipulate the voter. And for example, let's just take some basic things. We may laugh at it, and some of you may dismiss this real quickly, but, you know, you recall when they just rolled the back of Barack Obama because he refused to, quote, say Islamic radical Islamic terrorists. He refused to identify them, right? Now, Mr. Trump is in the same position, and he refused to, while addressing the whole summit, he did refuse to speak and use that term. And there are many other hypocritical acts. So the Democrats should be cognizant of that and aware of that activity and call it out. But they don't, because they're as guilty as well as manipulating the American voter and not delivering what it is that's promised under democracy. That's my view.
Okay.
But the net neutrality, I mean, that means that you won't be able to do many things on the Internet, right?
No, that means that they're not going to have control over what choices we have.
Right.
Right now, anyone can have a site without having to pay more. If they have the corporations able to pay more, then they're going to slow down the things that people who are not willing to pay. So they'll stamp out anyone that has a small business. They want to put it on the Internet. They can't pay. Right now, everyone pays the same, and so they're not able to make it unaffordable. So when this happens, it'll be unaffordable. That's why we won't have the information. So it's a step above us as just people browsing the Internet. It's the people that are putting the stuff on the Internet will be throttled.
Right.
And so they'll get a lot of money from guys like Netflix, but Netflix doesn't even want it because they don't want to have to pay more. But it's the bigger business above Netflix even that's going to be making all the money, like Verizon and Comcast and Warner, and those guys, the ones that own the cables. They're going to be able to throttle the cables, and you have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the big companies will be paying for it, and so we won't get the kind of information that is from anybody that is poor. We'll only get the information from people that are rich. That's kind of an oversimplification, but if you look at that that open letter that Schott explained it kind of nicely, and his compadres, they explained it, and then
so,
you know, you can click on the website.
What are they going to do about it, though? What are they proposing? They're stating they will do about it. It's an open letter.
Right now, they're trying to take away this Title II that gives us net neutrality.
No. I mean, Schatz's next step. He writes an open letter. What is
he doesn't
propose?
Have control. He doesn't have. It's out of his control.
Okay, so
he just
it was
did that because it's now in the people's control. It's
what
in
is
our
he,
ballpark.
What
they're
is
already
he proposing?
Going to take it away from us. Unless we scream and yell.
I got that part. What is he proposing that people do? Writing an over...
Right.
Most people have a grasp on it.
Text or email the FCC. It is, from my understanding, all that can be done right now. Because
mm-hmm.
Congress doesn't have any say in it. Only the FCC. They're deciding to do it because because Trump put this guy in charge that is going to... take it away from us because he's for the big companies. He was a lawyer for Verizon, and they've always been licking their chops at all the money that they could be making, and this has to do with how much they're going to get from Wall Street and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. All righty.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
We'll talk about net neutrality anyway, because coming in, I've been doing some reading and piecing some things together, but it's freedom of speech, more than anything I'm concerned with, it's a way of them
right.
controlling access to information. You would think they'd be wanting to make it more available, readily available to all citizens.
Right.
It's a good education
tool. That's exactly right. The public should own those cables. There
right.
shouldn't be, that should be like water. That should be, you know, a right and not, something that's privatized.
You don't have a car, you have three or four kids, you could design an educational program and go to school on the internet and become educated. So that's the value of it. Just that's one of them. But if they take that away, imagine what happens. Okay, well, thank you.
Well, they'll take away our choices, but they'll make us think that those are the only choices.
Right.
We won't know. It's happening behind our back.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's, yeah,
all right,
that's
well.
The deal. Thanks for letting me.
All right. Anytime. Thank you so much.
You're awesome.
Aloha. Bye-bye.
Your description of net neutrality was awful.
Oh, I can't help that. Then next time, give me a better one and prep me for it, okay?
Can you say that what you said again?
I don't have time for nonsense. I got 4 minutes left. So you got anything to add to this?
I understand that the Internet may be a capitalist, wild as a west kind of a situation right now. But if they're going to be net neutrality, then they just might try to commoditize bandwidth and then auction them off on a market just so they make money on it to begin the American way.
Okay, all right.
I hear some radio or something in the background. So
I have.
Sit down and listen to your comments or whatever. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a lot better now.
Yeah, what you do is that if you really... If you really want to contribute to the show and the conversation, just steer away from telling me about other guests and go on the attack with them. I'm looking for information and an exchange of information. I don't bring people on air and phone callers on call.
Yeah, you said about net neutrality. The net end result would be somebody couldn't bring an education forward on the Internet.
No, I didn't say
that opportunity.
Now, you got to learn to listen and not be willing to have an explanation for other people's thoughts. So let them speak for themselves, and if you don't fully understand it, then state that. But don't make it a habit of correcting.
Going back to your first guest.
Yeah, well, no, all of them.
What's your native language?
Probably from, where are you from, Ohio?
Me? No.
Where are you from?
A mixture, most probably very subtly underlined from Maryland, but overlined from Birmingham, Alabama.
You could have fooled me. I thought you went further south than that, man. I thought you were...
Cuba, huh?
Yeah, no, the Cubans are more eloquent.
Don't I look better in Bogota than anywhere?
You know, I'm just kidding you, McCurtis, but anyway.
Yeah, my spy agency hid me in an African neighborhood.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah, I didn't stand out a bit.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're down to the last couple of minutes. And
then let me just shut it down, and maybe you want to conclude something or announce something.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right, later, brother.
All right, thank you. All right. Sorry about that, guys. It sounds like as I say, disjointed. But I just love watching people nowadays and hearing their conversations. And it's like, wow, I would never have thought America would be so. It's brought to its knees from a perspective of someone just walking the street. Most people are disillusioned now. Many of them have no clue. They're just not happy with much of anything, and a lot of it, even if they want to be happy about it, they don't understand it. It's just things coming at them left and right, and contradictions and hypocrisy, and whereas we're criticizing Trump and we're tolerating this massive train, and it's sitting in the air debating whether we keep it or don't keep it, or how we fund it, do we rip the people off from this angle, or do we take money from over here. It's frightening. Not frightening that we're going to have a train, but frightening that we have some people say, well, let's do away with that and then use it for something else for this system. That's still going to cost money to modify it and to adopt it and incorporate it into. So where is that money going to come from? So I believe we should just tear the whole thing down, be done with it, go back to thinking the suitable means of transportation, enhance what we have, and get done with, fix the highways, do an overpass or something, and double lanes, something, and be done with it. But who in their right mind would tolerate such debate for so long? How long have we been at this debate now and haven't run a single train on the tracks? Caller, real quick, go ahead.
Hey, Francis, Carol, good program. Just wondering, whatever happened to your boy, guy Francis, is he still there?
No, our friend Francis passed, unfortunately.
Oh, I didn't know. When did he pass?
When did he pass? About 2 weeks ago, the Barry here, the owner, just informed us that we learned kind of late, so.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But yeah. Good show for Carol. Enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Francis will be sorely missed. One day we'll have to sit around and talk some stories about a really awesome person, really good guy, and did good work here at the station, trained me, watched over me to make sure that I didn't make any boo-boos. And you probably say, I failed his class. You're right, I did. But he was always forgiving. But you'd have to come in and see the board and understand. It's an old board, and it's taxing if you have something to go wrong. You got to call an expert from that deals with old boards. And so that's the way it is. But I was attempting to do this show just loosely, because you should hear the talk and what I hear people approach, and it's not being covered in many areas because people don't want to, you know, if they're making money with the city and the state and printing brochures or writing articles or featuring them, they're not going to take issue with, they may do a subject, a little talk about it in the paper, a blurb, but to get down and really dig and expose and call Caldwell onto the carpet, and instead on a couple of shows or the TV stations, they bring him in and it's ask the mayor, you know, and he gets a smile and lie and give you the BS, and nobody asks him the challenging questions, tasking him with being accountable and having no embarrassment, not showing any sensitivity to the senior citizens out there who will be decimated. The taxes. People retired based on a certain amount of income, and they had anticipated that. But if the economy is growing faster, and that economy is, portion of it is the taxes, they didn't count for this rapid increase in taxes. And it comes as a shock. So, but anyway, it's worrisome that when we as a nation find great comfort in and by our president to be boasting that we've made a couple hundred billion dollars in weapon sales and commitments to Saudi Arabia or anyone, and then turning and sending our aircraft carriers to fight, aim at North Korea, I would say maybe we should reevaluate the definition of an aggressor. And I want to live peaceful in this world and live in America and enjoy all the benefits. But I just don't believe that we have to have a gun to everybody's head in this world, on this planet, or handing guns to everybody in order to strike a balance or let them do our dealings. As I said, in Chicago, they have crime, and they are saying, well, where are the weapons coming from? Well, we're going to see. I think most of this, the volatility that exists there in the Middle East now and with Saudi Arabia, I think you better hunker down and get ready to send your 18-year-old son and daughters off to war. So while all of you are quiet, I remember the days of the the draft. I remember all of that. And when you're being aggressive, volunteer army is okay, but you're going to need more. We seem to want to put out every fire there is. And so I believe we're just seeing an inkling of what's to come. I believe we are headed for a war that could have been avoided, and many wars. But this man, Donald Trump, is not just speaking for himself. He's speaking for millions who believe in this and want to just... The answer is weaponry. He's shown that he's willing to use them. And when you're chastising others that you can't develop any weapons, but I'm going to sell all your friends and all your enemies weapons, and they'll put them to your head. It's kind of crazy. So I hope we weather this storm, but I think it's going to be a class 6 storm coming, and it ain't from global warming. It'll be after the missiles and the bombs and what have you. Or you can sit on your asses and say that I don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm not NBC, CNN, and all of that, but I do know one thing. When you're selling weapons and you got volatility and fragile situations and manipulators, you got yourself all the makings of a war, unrest. So we'll talk to you next week. We'll see you later. This is the Carol Cox Show. Take care.
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.